There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We're just three mates that love the game, and we've got so much to talk about with the Lions' victory over the Canterbury Crusaders and the game coming up against the Highlanders. We've got England, Scotland, Ireland, Australia and Fiji internationals to talk about as well, and lots of other stuff besides. So this is the Sunday podcast, but what you need to do is be hitting subscribe, because we've got loads of podcasts coming at the minute because it's the Lions and we cannot get enough. Hit subscribe and then all the episodes, and there's at least three a week, you can automatically get downloaded to your smartphone, app, computer or whatever. We're on Acast, we're on iTunes, and I am Tim, and it's JB.
Hello, Tim.
And Phil.
Hello, Tim.
Right, quick review then that's been left on iTunes from DMX5, who says...
DMX, the rapper?
Yeah, the rapper, yeah.
Amazing.
Strong and stable rugby chat. If this podcast were a Lions winger, it would wait until the catcher's feet have touched the ground before smashing him backwards and into touch. No yellow cards here. Superb. Thank you very much.
Oh, very nice. Thank you.
Lovely job. So, five-star reviews on iTunes. Thank you very much. You can find us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Well done yesterday. Sorry I wasn't around.
Oh, it's okay. You were doing bigger and better podcasts from what I can understand.
Well, I wasn't doing any other podcast. I might have been making radio, but I wasn't doing another podcast. I would never do another podcast.
Making radio, is that a euphemism for cheating on your mates?
All right.
How was it? How was TalkSport?
It was good. I'm doing the Lion's Den, they call it, after. Ooh. So tune into TalkSport 2 after games, which what's brilliant about that is that will bridge the gap perfectly, because it sometimes takes iTunes about an hour to get the podcast uploaded. So whilst you're waiting for our post-match podcast, you can listen to TalkSport 2 live and then listen to Egg Chasers straight after that.
So you get Tim's opinion, and then immediately after that you can get mine and JB's opinion.
But equally, I think I might be able to contribute to that as well post-match, because I don't start till 11 and the games finish about 10 past 10, so I can hop straight on, do the podcast, then go and do a show. I put you boys first, that's what I'm saying.
Amazing.
Of course. Anyway. You enjoy the game?
The Lions game?
Yeah.
I didn't just enjoy the Lions game, I enjoyed the Festival of Rugby that was Saturday.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
This is true.
The only game I missed was the Fiji game, the Australia-Fiji game.
Yeah, I missed that.
What a sad crowd attendance for that one.
Yeah, 13,000.
Pathetic.
Is that all it was?
Second lowest ever for an Australian national game.
They could have held it at the AJ Bell for that.
Yeah. Well, it would be nice to see what the AJ Bell stadium looks like, more than half full.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
I mean, they actually could probably go there. They could probably play a test match in any of the Premiership grounds. It's really, really poor, really worrying stuff, actually, for Australia.
Yeah, it's really bad times in Australia at the minute. At least their national team got a win. I didn't watch that one either, and I didn't manage to catch France-South Africa, which is pretty ugly from... Well, certainly from a French perspective.
It was entertaining, actually. I mean, yes, from a French point of view, it was an ugly result, but it was fairly entertaining. I can't say I was concentrating too hard on it. I had to do daycare stuff at the time. But, it was on whilst I was in the room.
Hold on, you're not doing that thing where dads say they're babysitting when it's looking after your own child. You can't do daycare with your own child.
I absolutely
That's just
can.
Called I was being a
no,
dad.
No, I'm sorry. There's these progressive, stupid T-shirts. Dads don't do daycare. Do one. Not interested. I'm working. I've got to work.
I was working during the South Africa-France game, which meant watching it intently. France, it wasn't the best performance, but it is worth noting that they had none of the players from the top 14 final. Because don't forget, this is only a week after it.
That's true.
So it was a weakened French team. They weren't brilliant, but they had some good moments. And there's probably both teams can take a lot of positives out of this. It's eight months since South Africa last won a game.
Wow.
An international rugby game. Yeah, they have only played. This was only their fifth game in that period. But
can I maybe just spend a minute going over Crusaders Lions?
Yeah,
because I listened to the podcast on the train back to Manchester, and I largely agreed with lots of what you said. I do want to pick you up on a couple of things, though.
Oh, please.
Yes.
Firstly, there was no peak Tio horn.
Nope.
Now, Ben Tio played in the Saturday side, not in the midweek team, and you played in probably what everyone was calling the toughest game outside of the test matches.
Yeah.
He played, and he played very well.
Agreed.
He did.
I think that was worthy of a peak Tio horn.
I think this is a flat line. Maybe not a flat line.
I don't think it's...
You didn't give peak Tio a horn for the first time he pulled on a Lions shirt.
He did deserve one for that. So
he got one for being selected. I mean, selected is probably more important than going to the midweek team.
Come on. You're completely illegitimising the peak Tio horn at all, because if you're not going to play the horn when he reaches a new peak, then what's the point?
Yeah.
You can't skip rungs of the ladder.
I think he does deserve a horn.
Get the horn played.
Oh, for God's sakes. Look, what have I started? Leave it now until he scores the winning try in the third test in the 80th minute, and then we can leave that music playing pretty much all night.
If he gets selected for the test match, which I think then that's a new peak.
Now,
bearing in mind that this started from someone who laughed at him even being in a wider England training squad, JB, which is where you started 2 years ago.
We laughed is because it was absurd, Tim.
It was absurd, but I'm a rugby visionary. What can I say?
You picked up a rumour at the BT Sport cafeteria that he was moving over. He'll come over. He'll play for England. Nobody knew. And no one even knew in Ireland when they were watching him. He was okay. He was good.
Yeah, they were happy to get rid of him to put Henshaw in there.
Exactly.
Well, I'll tell you what.
So I will just say, I think Peak Tio is probably favourite as it stands, but the centre partnership coming up, which we'll discuss in a lot more detail, is Henshaw and Jonathan Joseph, and they will have something to say about it.
Now, I don't believe I cheated on the podcast. I will not have that, but I do. I will say that I accidentally bled some of just matter of habit. I was referring to Ben Tio on TalkSport and did this.
9-10 combination was great.
Hold on, this isn't me, obviously.
Just brutal. Loved it.
Now, I know you're a Worcester Warriors season ticket holder.
Yes.
What a rise Peak Tio is having. Peak Tio, Ben Tio. What a rise to
I don't know, Tim. You're a sneaky one. That could have been you. Did you sign off as the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast?
I didn't. But Ben Parker has got in touch and suggested a song, because we were talking about songs. You're disappointed you're Billy and Mako Vunipola. Billy.
Very disappointed. Yeah. It also works for Denny Salomona.
It does.
Who we'll be talking about later.
Ben Parker said his idea for a Tio song is to the tune of the Out Here Brothers. Do you remember that song? Boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say way-o, way-o.
That's pretty good.
Boom, boom, boom.
Let me hear you say Tio,
Tio.
Nice.
That works.
I like that.
I like it a lot.
So briefly on the Lions then. I thought Anthony Watson had an outstanding game. I thought he was really good. I think he could be starting in the test match. He played well in the first game, and he played well in yesterday or Saturday, depending on when you're listening.
Tell me
to
about
this.
Saturday.
He was a really elusive runner. You picked up on the time when he let a ball bounce. Mm. Fair enough. I haven't got a problem with that. But he was the most elusive runner that there was. And there were times when he was in heavy traffic and managed to make 10, 15 metres of yards running the ball back. I assumed when he came onto the field that they would move Liam Williams to fullback and him onto the wing, and they didn't. Which, I'm not necessarily saying he'll start at fullback, but I think Anthony Watson's going to start in the back three for the test.
I think you could be right.
I don't know. So I've got conflicting points on this. I think Anthony Norton's the most attacking player in the Lions, full stop.
He's the fastest and best feet.
Yeah. So from that point of view, yeah, definitely. But looking at what they were trying to do on Saturday, do you think they were trying to play like a kick chase game?
Yeah.
So is he really the right guy? It's, for me, North isn't the right guy because North and Watson kind of can do the same things in space, as in they are attacking guys you need to put into space, not hard-working guys like Noel and like Liam Williams, who, yeah, can do the space thing, but also can, you know, chase a ball, jackal, tackle, work hard, look for work. I think that might be the difference.
It does depend which way they want to go.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I thought Conor Murray had an excellent game, mm-hmm. but I don't... you see, Ireland won, but I just have a... And I think Gatland will pick Conor Murray, but I don't know, there's part of me that just wants Reece Webb, wants Anthony Watson, wants Jonathan Joseph in the team.
Yeah.
Just to really give him a go.
The problem is, I think you risk opening it up too much and any turnover ball... All Blacks will feed off.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if the Lions are going to win, they've got to play the same game that they did against the Crusaders and play that suffocating, that Saracens-esque defence.
But you're still going to have to score 30 points, I think.
I'm not sure.
It depends how good that defence can be.
This game has kind of made me reconsider. Bear in mind, I didn't think they would win any of these provincial games. To show up so strongly against what is supposedly the hardest team to play against is really encouraging.
And with an international type 5 as well. I mean, that Crusaders type 5, they are all Blacks, and they're all All Blacks many times over as
and
well.
And do you know what? I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying... In fact, I think someone said it on your TalkSport show, Tim, that Canterbury have not managed to not score a try in like 2 years.
And they've scored 74 tries this Super Rugby season.
In 14 games.
Yeah. So, you know, there's something in it.
Well, I also think we may be over-egged the Canterbury quality in terms of the back line. The forwards, there were 6 All Blacks, and I completely get that. Their back line, I didn't think, was that great.
Yeah, it was.
And they were missing...
They're missing Crotty.
Crotty, who's massive.
Yeah.
And Mwanga, is it? Had a bad game.
Yeah.
Bad game.
He didn't play particularly well. But how much of that, we were saying Saturday morning, how much of that is the pressure, the line speed of that defense?
I'm willing to accept that. The Lions are going to have to score maybe 3 or 4 tries to beat the All Blacks in a test match.
If that's the case, I don't think they've got the personnel.
Which exactly...
at all.
No.
No matter what.
You take the team that he's probably going to put out and it will work. And like in Chicago for Ireland, they got a lead and managed to hold on. The All Blacks get ahead, you're never getting them back.
So yeah. I would question that and say, how are you going to get these tries? So if the way to get these tries is, you know, essentially a Wasps-esque attacking style. You know, for instance, so
that.
You know, it's ball in hand, it's nice rugby, it's the way you want to score tries, well, that's fine.
No, I'm not,
if
I'm
it's
not
kick
saying
chase,
Wasps.
Turnover, kick to the corner, driving more. I mean, that is another way to score points. And if you look at the Ireland game,
2 tries in 3 games.
Who?
The Lions.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I'm with you. I don't think it's enough. But I'm saying there are other ways to do it rather than open, free flowing rugby. And if you look at the Ireland game when they beat the All Blacks in Chicago, a lot of it did come from, you know, kick chase, turnover, all the hard, ugly stuff. Because I think you've probably got more of a chance of scoring against the All Blacks using turnover ball than you have by just keeping the ball phase after phase.
Possibly. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, Tim. Yeah. I'd much rather see the brand of rugby that you're describing. I'm not hopeful that we can win either way, but I think we've actually got slightly more of a chance if we keep it close. And
maybe.
And
actually, if you want to talk about Saracens, it is playing the territory, applying pressure with offensive defence, but then it's clinically finishing when they have the chance, which is what the Lions haven't done and what they need to do. And hopefully over the next couple of games,
Can I float a hypothetical?
Yeah.
Who would win, Saracens or Crusaders?
Probably Saracens.
On that,
I think Saracens.
On that exact performance, I'd say Saracens.
Yeah.
Mm.
Very briefly then, I thought actually Peter Amani and Sean O'Brien were quite effective in the game and maybe didn't get the credit they deserved.
I think you're probably right here.
Yeah, I've rewatched it and particularly Sean O'Brien. I thought they were both...
Amani was really disruptive in the line-out. There was no coincidence that he was in the defensive line-out and the Crusaders line-out with 6 All Blacks in the side went to pot.
Yeah, so, that is fair. And me and JB were overly critical, and particularly now I'm wearing my Leinster top. Shawnee, I'm all about Shawnee.
Yeah, I'll just say, I think probably came from the question, which is who will not play in the test.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And it's because
Sam Warburton will start.
He's going to come back.
He's starting in the game.
He is.
I imagine he'll play 50 minutes, and then Tipperick will come on, and they'll get him ready for the Saturday game, perhaps.
Yeah. Now, the Saturday game, just touch on that. The Saturday game is against the Maoris.
Yeah.
And I've seen the Maori All Blacks squad. It's a pretty formidable squad.
Is it?
Yeah. It really is. And Gatland has said that he's going to see something close to a test side for that.
Interesting.
Which will probably be similar to the Crusaders side, yeah, with a few changes of personnel.
So, do you know my theory about the Lions not having enough time to get together and so on and so forth, right? And I still believe that. I still think it's incredibly hard to do what they're doing. Let's flip this around and say, if you're on a summer tour, you get three games. The Lions actually have a small advantage, which is they have all of the warm-up games, which I never really thought about. So if you're an international squad, you get your three games in summer, your two games, and that will be that. But these guys can train and stay together for a prolonged period. Now, I don't know how much it makes up for the fact they haven't played at Six Nations and they haven't been to numerous camps, but it is something.
There is. So I was thinking that through today. So there's pros and cons to this. So yes, they've not played the Six Nations, but then they get 10 games together.
Yeah.
But to counter the 10 games together, they get 10 games together, which means that they're playing 10 times in a six-week period.
Yeah.
So just how much wear and tear is that going to put on the body?
Yeah, the most important thing for me is... Sorry, Phil, you're pointing. What are you pointing at?
Your battery is running low 10%.
Oh, thanks, mate. That's really important.
That's kind of Operation Critical.
What on earth? Where does that come from?
Well, obviously, that's the Lions, and we can get into looking ahead to the Highlanders game in a bit, but there's loads of international rugby to talk about, and some, I'm sure, Scottish fans would argue Finn Russell's was giving reasons and an example of why he should be in New Zealand. Other players showed up particularly well in other games, so we can get into that. I just thought, off the back of a... Well, I mean, JB, you didn't get any... I stayed up all Thursday night, fascinated by the electoral process. What did you get into it, Phil? You had a vested interest in it, personally.
I did.
Family members and all that.
I was on a course, so at 10 p.m... I was taking part in a debate in a private room in a bar in Westminster. Sorry, not in Westminster, in Greenwich, down in London. And I was on a course for 3 days. So I kind of got back to my room at like about 1 a.m, spent an hour catching up on the results and the trends, but didn't properly get into it, certainly not to the same extent that you boys did.
Well, we don't need to now, because I think JB definitely doesn't want to. But we did float out our own little rugby manifesto.
Yeah.
You know, just because if people are looking for proper leadership and looking for real ideas that could really work in the real world with real people, then we put out some rugby manifesto ideas, and the ones we got sent back were amazing. So ours were basically some of the stuff we've been banging on about for a while, like the way that TMOs should talk to each other in normal conversational language.
Yes.
Not initial contact was executed with force to the lower head or upper neck area. Forwards having to wear black boots. I know, yeah. JB was a pink boot wearing forwards.
Yeah, that's when I was on the wing, though, to be fair.
Yeah, and then obviously the old one, boots are mandatory, not optional, for promotional photographs.
Yeah, 100%.
If a player's seen in kit, it has to be full kit.
Do you think that not wearing trainers to promotional shots should be treated the same as doping?
I agree. I completely agree. It's an oversight that, you know, some people, well, it should be treated the same way as someone who misses a drugs test but maybe hasn't even been doping. Sorry.
Yeah.
There's no, we can't allow this to slide.
Yeah. You let one do it and God knows.
Yeah, and shirt sponsors having to fill the colour palette of the club shirt.
I would actually extend that. Yes, completely agree with it. I would actually go one further and say the main sponsor needs to be sympathetically proportioned to the overall design of the shirt.
I love it.
And the reason I say that is because the South Africa shirt, which has got that big massive. So it's
yellow.
It's MNT. It's yellow. It's the right colour.
Yeah.
But it's enormous. It's twice the size it should be.
But I'm looking behind you, and there's an Auckland Blue shirt. That green is with the blue.
Too big.
Just too big.
Too big.
It's horrible.
And wrong colours.
Horrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, but we had some brilliant suggestions that came in. So I'll run these by you then. We might be able to come up with a shadow cabinet with some of these ideas. So Ant Green said, just a really simple one that's not even light-hearted, TMO decisions full speed. All for that.
Yep. Yes.
In some cases, not
where
try.
So yeah. Where it's foul play, full speed.
Yeah.
Where it's a try, you slow it down.
Yeah. Then on a more light-hearted note, the London Irish blog on Twitter said, I'm surprised Tim hasn't suggested English caps for English people.
Yeah. We might get into that a little bit later.
Yeah. Adam Ingle said, no more of these true socks. You wear issue kit or you don't play.
Yes, well said.
Yeah.
True socks.
Ronan Griffin said, no full-time rugby players can also be part-time DJs. Love it.
That is going to... we'll be losing a lot of rugby players there.
Yeah.
Because I think
they'll... Some really good ones too.
They'll
Adam Ash, gone.
They'll stick with the DJ in rather than...
Haskell, gone.
Yeah. Church, Kean Healy, gone. Yeah.
Kean, yeah.
Autorak, gone.
Gone.
Sam Hill, gone.
Adogway, gone. I mean, it'd be less damaging to say lads from farming backgrounds can't play.
Angus McIntosh said, I want Phil's Law. You know how sometimes people that introduce laws, they get it named after them? Phil's Law. You can appeal for a TMO, but if it's not, if you're not right, you get given 10.
Largan's Law.
Largan's Law, well, like it.
Wasn't it like, if you appeal, you get a penalty against you, and if you're wrong, you get 10 minutes in the bin?
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Joe McDougall, non-Welsh players should be allowed to captain the Lions.
I'm not sure about that.
Dan Bridle says, players celebrating being awarded a penalty dealt with severely. Well, what about Maro Itoje and his signature hand clap? What would happen with that? He invented clapping.
No, you're also...
Let the boy clap.
Sorry, you are allowed to... celebrate penalties, especially if you've jackled and won the ball yourself. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a distance. You need to have anyone within a 5 meter,
like a blast radius.
Yeah, 5 meter radius can go up and give him an arse tap, pat on the head.
You can't have
a winger running in from 50 yards away.
Oh, so true.
That's it. Get annoyed about like that with scrimmaging, scrum penalty. Especially if I'm in the scrum, I want everyone. I want the fans to get involved.
To run onto the pitch.
Yeah.
Half the time...
At least the bench.
Someone mentioned it on our Twitter, but the wingers half the time will be just up in their meters run stats.
Logging GPS
for the
miles.
GPS, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy with that.
Stuart HS, no back is allowed to steal the ball from a forward off the back of a driving maul to score a try.
Agree with that.
Quite a few people said that one.
Yeah. We've seen a few backs getting in on the act this season.
Yeah, and I like this one from James Leeper. I would genuinely quite like this. Add occasional fights to be allowed, as long as
it's
proper toe-to-toe stuff, no sneaky underhand stuff. Because there was a bit of niggling that game on Saturday, and there was times when everyone sort of started. But now the players are very well trained and disciplined, and they just...
They throw their hands up in the air, don't they?
They grasp the shirt of the opponent and sort of push forward and backwards, and that's it.
A bit of wiggling.
Play. With the amount of physicality, it shows quite a lot of restraint, which I suppose is the right thing. But look at ice hockey. I think they've got it nailed there. Just
well,
like, go on then. Everyone back off. Let them go for
every
it.
Every now and again, something really bad happens. And then they've got to go through what must be the most painful process of all the press and all the detractors.
Yeah, that's true.
Whinging. And I mean, we've got enough problems at the moment with bloody concussions without them banging on about fighting. So let's just take what we can get whilst we can get it.
That one bit of niggle, it was... I think it was the third scrum of the game, and there were two dominant Lions scrums, and then the Crusaders scrum just
smashed them.
Completely rolled them over.
It's quality, that was.
Like, it was a hell of a scrum, that. And then all of the... So, like, Mako, Jamie George, and Furlong were, like, lying on their backs with five Crusaders on top of them, and all the Crusaders were shouting down on
and
them.
And then all the Crusaders' backs are running in like it's a bloody Lynx advert.
But then Omani ran in, and Sean O'Brien ran in, and were... dragging them off.
I think Omani would be the best man to have on your side in a bar fight.
Yeah.
The single best.
Maybe there's a couple of Georgian back rows I would also take.
I know. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I think
thank you very much for all the suggestions at Rugby Podcast. We will be. It looks like there might be another election, and we may well be standing in a constituency near you.
Yeah.
Now, law variations. While we're on this topic, I've had a brainwave this weekend about another potential law variation.
Okay, and
it's not something that would really have been necessary this weekend, but I think it could genuinely improve the game. Penalties.
Yep.
If you're going to take a kick for the sticks, you have to take it from exactly where the penalty was given, rather than being able to march back 20 yards.
Right, so you can't improve your angle if you're too close.
So, 5 metre scrum.
I'm going to disagree with you.
Let me just talk it through. 5 metre scrum.
Yep.
A lot of teams will just go for a penalty try. Not a penalty try, they'll go to try and win the penalties, take the three.
Yeah.
This would mean they wouldn't be able to, they'd have to either re-scrum, kick for the corner, or tap and go.
Or if there was a limit to how far back you could walk.
Well, so, no, just it goes from where it is. So unless you're, on the 5 metre line,
Would that encourage teams to just give away penalties?
Yeah. So here's what I would say to that is, if I was a defensive coach, I'd say everyone really get really tight in the middle, encourage them to go out, and then when they go out, give away the penalty. When they go wide. Give away penalties out wide.
Well, no, because if it's going to be a deliberate penalty, say you've got the upper hand from a scrum 5 yards out,
yeah,
and they're giving deliberate penalty after deliberate penalty, then it goes yellow card because it's cynical play, and then it goes penalty try.
Well, yeah. I mean, I prefer my rule, which is any penalty against you in your own 5 metre is an automatic yellow card.
You can do that. I would like to see more yellow cards from this. But what I'd like to see is, so there's times, there was one on Saturday where England got a penalty inside Argentina's 22, well inside, but in between the 5 and the 15 metre towards the touchline. And George Ford marched it 25 metres back and took the 3, whereas if you'd taken a scrum or a line out from there, it's absolute prime attacking ball. And so it is to see more attacking ball.
I wonder if there could be a halfway house, right, between full penalty and free kick, where the options are only scrum or line out.
Well, that is what this rule does, effectively, from certain positions.
Yeah, but it's the same offence, isn't it? You have to categorise the offences. And also, if you think about more statistically...
More difficult offences, what we need?
If you heat mapped the pitch,
yeah,
there would be heat maps, there'd be like hot spots where it's advantageous to give away penalties. Even though you've said it's going to end up in a yellow card, it would definitely be more advantageous to give away a penalty in the corner or out wide, close to your line. Which is a weird kind of way to be.
Yeah, but anything cynical like that, I'm with you. Yellow card.
Yellow card. I think more yellow cards for killing the ball, not for foul play or handbags, in the 5 metre is the way forward.
It is interesting that you've gone from saying yellow cards are dangerous.
No, I use a danger argument, just kind of, have you bitten by your own snake?
Oh, sorry.
I don't like yellow cards for basically distorting the spirit of the game when it gets a bit physical. You go, yellow card, it's dangerous. Dangerous. No, do one.
I'm going to change.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Change tack. I want to talk about that scrum on Saturday night.
England-Argentina.
England-Argentina when the scores were 31-all. Huh?
What were they shouting? Can you remember?
I don't know, but all I saw was 16 men pushing as hard as they could and it just staying rock solid, staying strong and stable for a long, long, long time.
Let me ask you this.
Oh, long enough for me to get quite excited.
Quite stable. So, let me ask you this. Who is a psychopath going about who does not like watching this? Who is it?
Who doesn't want? No.
That
scrum
is brilliant. I don't like the collapse scrum.
Yeah, oh God.
Everyone clean their boots off.
Yeah, let's get the mud off the bottom of your boots. Let's have a bit of a. This is really hard. I need to have a few breaths. Let me take ages grabbing the shirt again and then getting back down.
Someone takes a knee so the water comes on.
Yeah, do that.
Then
do
a minute and a half later, we've got another scrum.
I would happily watch a minute and a half of just that scrum.
Yes.
It felt like about a minute and a half. It must have been a good 10, 15 seconds.
It was quite a long time.
24 seconds.
Is it 24 seconds?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, so, no, it's not
the scrum lasted.
It's a 24-second clip.
Oh. So beautiful thing.
To the end of it.
And well, let's start there with the international rugby roundup then, as we look around. England v Argentina, fantastic spectacle.
Yeah,
both teams played their part. Argentina should have won, and probably should have won comfortably.
I'm going to slightly disagree with that. Argentina were in a dominant position, but only because of Denny Solomona, because he came on, and within 3 minutes of him coming on, he'd missed three tackles, and England
fell
have conceded
over twice.
Fell over a try twice from one of those tackles, and they conceded 14 points because of him.
Right, so obviously I'm a big fan of Denny. I've been talking about him for a little while, and I think all of England owes a debt of gratitude to Steve Diamond for producing Diamond's geezers.
Bringing him through the ranks.
Exactly.
Academy boy.
I want to thank. I want to thank his
agent,
his English parents who raised him here. I want to thank his English school that trained him here. I want to thank the English academy system for bringing him through.
Identifying.
I want to thank all of his English rugby clubs up to this point.
Now.
He's been playing rugby union for 6 months. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah, well, exactly. But you've got to thank Steve Diamond for having the nouse to go out there and find this.
Stop trying to crawl up inside. Come on.
Tom Curry as well, who was outstanding.
He did have a very promising game, and you had to remember the guy's 18 years old. It's unreal.
It is unreal. The youngest
debutant since Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah.
And
youngest debutant in the forward since the 30s.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, amazing.
Oh my God.
Amazing. I do think there's an element of context. Do you remember when Sam Burgess came over to rugby and there was so much, people were so excited about this guy that every time he did anything, his name would always get mentioned in commentary. There was an element of that where three people passed the ball and they never said Danny Kerr, Tom Curry. It was England going forward. Great pass by Tom Curry. Every opportunity they got to mention everything he did, like whatever it was.
I'm with you on this, Tim.
When David James played for the Lions as the only Welshman in the Welsh commentary, Dion, David, Dion, Dion! Wilkinson, Henderson, Dion, David, Dion! It was brilliant.
I mean, 18 years old, it's amazing, but I do think that just because he's 18, it's skewing the context and the hype and the rate and sort of way people are saying that he played.
I thought it was a legitimately good performance.
If Chris Robshaw had put in that performance, we wouldn't be going, what a game by Chris Robshaw. What a game. But it's fine, he's 18, so it's amazing.
Let's look at it. Who was playing on that game? Mark Wilson.
That's who I want to talk about.
Yeah, completely agree.
Mark Wilson seems to have been held to a much higher standard than Tom Curry because he is 25 or 26.
He might be older than that, but actually I think a lot of plaudits have come in for Mark Wilson too. He was brilliant.
I've not seen any highlight. I've seen a Tom Curry specific highlight video from that game,
which involved him doing just playing rugby for a lot of it. And I'm not knocking it. He's 18. It's phenomenal.
And he had a good game, but I do feel like he's being held to a lower standard than a lot of the boys around him.
Because it's remarkable. The reason they're talking about Tom Curry like this is because it is genuine. And there's two of them.
There are two of them.
I mean, you want to talk about manifesto commitments? My Curry rule. If one of they can both play together, but if one of them goes off, they both go off. Just kind of like cluster bots.
Yeah, ice climbers from Smash Brothers.
There's a rugby app. I don't know what it is, but there's a rugby app that for the picture it has profiles of players in it as a picture.
Oh yeah, it's Ultimate Rugby.
Ultimate Rugby, and it's just got the two of them because they don't know which is which. Just got both of them in the picture.
Tell you what, having two of them is great. I think the reason that he got so many plaudits is because it was a genuinely remarkable a performance when you consider everything involved. And that's that. Mark Wilson. I thought his performance was extremely mature. He didn't look out of place at all. In fact, he looked like exactly the player that we thought he was. We've been talking about for...
Yeah, he looked like the guy that was in the Premiership. He looked like the guy that was the best in his position in the Avicii Premiership this season.
No surprise there that he did well. The other guy who was interesting was Piers Francis. I keep wanting to call him Piers Morgan. Piers Francis looked really, really good. I mean, did this guy come from Edinburgh?
He did play a little bit at Edinburgh.
And apparently was rubbish.
Yeah, from one of our friend of the pod who is an Edinburgh fan.
Yeah, so he probably wasn't very good there. I went to Blues... kind of did all right, but he looked really, really good. Lovely touches. And, of course, Slade played. How do you describe Slade's performance, Phil?
Feast and famine, I would say. He did some magnificent things. The step and the grubber for the try. Oh. A couple of his offloads were brilliant. He also had a few missed tackles, a few knock-ons, and a very 12 trees-esque two-man miss pass straight into touch.
So, do you remember when England beat Wales at Twickenham a few years ago? Jamie Roberts was playing in the midfield, and opposite him was Luther Burrell and somebody else. And England won. And the first try...
Jonathan Joseph.
Nope.
It was.
And
the
first try was via a little chip through. Who was at 12?
Barrett?
No, it was Billy 12 Trees. Slade is slowly becoming Billy 12 Trees in front of our eyes.
I'm not having this. You wrote Henry Slade off the other week.
I didn't write him off.
You said Ollie Devoto's better.
Yes, I agree with that.
Well, no, I completely disagree. And the Slade train is chugging. The Slade train is chugging.
I think Ollie Devoto is a more rounded player and a bit more composed under pressure. Controls the game better.
I loved seeing three playmakers in an England midfield. It felt very Southern Hemisphere, very Australian.
It also felt incredibly frenetic. Yeah. That game was.
But it made for a really entertaining game.
God, it did. It was chaos. It was beautiful to watch when you know there's nothing on the line.
Yeah.
I'd hate to watch that in a pressure game.
That midfield was a coalition of chaos.
It was a.
Let's just go back to Denny a second. Here's what I don't understand. And we can talk about Watson in the same breath, and I've spoken about it before. But why are some players preferred over others? Denny Solomona has got pros and cons, as you've spoken about, Tim, i.e. not coming through. Why not Wade?
Why not
Rocco Degouni?
Rocco Degouni and Wade have the same limitations.
Yeah. I cannot in my head work that out.
Because he wants to give him a cap to ring fence him for England, basically.
Maybe.
Why? I mean... Because you're
26, 27?
25, 24?
Yeah, 23, 24, okay, so Solomona.
There's a lot of tread on the tyres, yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's got a lot of years ahead of him, but why cap him now unless you're genuinely worried that he's going to play for either of the two places which he has...
Said that he ruled out playing for England 6 months ago and said, I would never play for England, it's Samoa or New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... Samoa is going to be better for the game overall if he played for them.
Yeah, but he's going to make no money.
Yeah.
And so don't get me wrong. Let me just reiterate, for anyone who thinks that I'm hating on him, I would have done exactly what Denny Solomona does. I do not begrudge him doing it whatsoever. I hate the fact that the laws exist that he can. But anyway.
Yeah. Sorry. But he's never going to go to New Zealand. There's no way that he... Even if he was playing in New Zealand, he'd be maybe 10th choice winger.
Well, we don't know until he goes and does it.
Do you think he'd even go and do
no,
it?
No, because he's happily settled over here. He's got an English family. You know, for all the nonsense about he's coming over here taking our jobs. He is actually settled over here. The more frustrating thing is, why are the other lads not getting a shout?
That is the frustrating
thing.
Doing
the hard graft for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I don't just mean it for the England team. I also mean it in terms of England.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sorry, in terms of Lions, we're watching Anthony Watson. I'm thinking, what does Rocco Degoni not offer on the wing compared to?
Oh, I don't think Rocco not being there means that Anthony Watson shouldn't. As I said, Anthony Watson, I think, has been the best back three player on tour so far.
Yeah, but if you ask Bath fans, they will tell you that Rocco Degoni is the best back three player in Bath.
Yeah,
and the best back three player in the league, which a lot of the stats would also point.
The amount of yards made in the league compared to anyone else. It's ridiculous.
But it's again impressive for England that they did have a core of their regulars, but with that side to beat Argentina away is no mean feat.
No, and the core of regulars, can I just say, didn't even do that well. I mean, well, Mike Brown in particular.
Brown, Yard, May. Yard did well, actually. Brown and May didn't do well. Ford was brilliant. Kerr, hit and miss. Launchbury, very good. Nathan Hughes, very good.
Dylan Hartley is just as good at hitting as he is at running, and that's saying something.
Yeah.
His hits are magnificent.
Nathan Hughes was brilliant. Dylan Hartley, I thought, was the worst player on the pitch.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
Weak carrying. He got smashed back a few times. He had the ball stripped off him and hit off him a few times. His line-out was very good, which it always is.
Mm.
But his work around the park was... yeah, not great.
It's a pretty high standard set by hookers nowadays for work on the park. I mean, you can't be average, let's put it that way.
Did you see Malcolm Marks?
Yes, I did.
His work on the park, his carrying, his strength and his hits are incredible. That's the standard that you have to have for an international hooker these days.
Yes. Well, I mean, just look at the guys. The Lions have taken Ken Owens, Jamie George, Rory Best, all do very good work around the park.
They do.
Although, arguably, not one of them is as good as Hartley in set piece.
In the throw.
Certainly in the throw, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you are right. And that probably covers up a lot of weaknesses for Hartley at the moment.
Well, best news of all, they get to do it again next week.
They do. That would be brilliant.
Can they find a better stadium?
I like that stadium.
It's a Mad Max cage on raw, sun-beaten concrete.
If that was anywhere other than South America, you'd be like, what is this place?
It's brutal. And there's weeds growing out of like this on the edge of the stadium.
Yeah. But I love the... because it's a football stadium. They've got the barbed wire fence.
It's
all the way around the pitch.
Absolutely brutal. It's like if the UFC designed a rugby pitch.
Running Man, the Arnold Schwarzenegger film.
I can't say I remember watching it.
Oh, it's like a little bit like that.
Shall we move on to the next game?
Well, I'll tell you what, I will break up the games with a tour story.
Oh, please do.
We're doing all these extra podcasts throughout the Lions tour, and I just want to say thank you very much to Raging Bull for doing so. They've got some wonderful leisure wear at ragingbull.co.uk. In fact, they've got a brand new load-in. Phil Vickery was having a photo shoot with some fine strapping chaps. I don't know why he doesn't book us to do that. We could do that. We can model their new range of blazers, chinos, shirts, polo shirts, all the rest of it. But you can get a 15% discount at ragingbull.co.uk if you go to our Twitter page at Rugby Podcast. There is details there, link and a code. Otherwise, all you need to do is take the code EGG15. For a 15% discount, go and fill your boots. So, I've been asking, because it's the Lions Tour, for tour stories. And we've had some brilliant ones. And I want you to email this to contacteggchasers@gmail.com with your tour story, like Marcus has done. Marcus said, "Hi, guys. On tour with my old club in Rimini, Italy, once our fly half, Richard, once he gets a few into him, he rapidly turns into his alter ego, Dickie." We've all played with people that
more than a few.
Yeah, more than
the guy I played with who was a nightmare on the beers. Go on, carry on.
On the way back to the hotel on our first night, a group of us crossed the road at some traffic lights. At this point, Dickie decides to jump on the back of the transit van that was stopped at the red light. He was last seen, arms outstretched, holding on for dear life, screaming for help as it sped off into the distance. As you'd expect from teammates who know what that one particular mate is like, we shrugged our shoulders and carried on back to the hotel. The next day, he still hadn't been seen, and all our rooms were checked, but there was neither hide nor hair of him. By the time we needed to leave for the tournament we were playing in, We were down our numbers. We were down one number for our tens tournament. Halfway through the second game, a taxi pulls up and out jumps Richard, having spent €100 to make it to the ground. Turns out he'd made it back to the hotel, didn't know what room he was in, so went up to the attic where he found a dodgy old mattress and kipped on that. Somehow sleeping through the noise of 45 hungover blokes departing from a small hotel. This was after Gestapo-like questioning from the hotel manager. To be fair, someone had done a blowback with the budgie in reception, resulting in its sad demise.
Oh, no.
So he took like a Teen Wolf ride on top of a van and then killed a budgie, slept through a tournament.
So my little brother did something similar to this on my stag, which was he went missing, but like a real man would, instead of actually getting back to his hotel, he phoned my mum, right, in the middle of the night to find out which hotel we were staying at in Budapest. And like a man, he decided to run his battery down on his phone. So he got back to the hotel, couldn't find his room, slept in the laundry room, right? But in the meantime, my poor mother was so worried about my little brother. She woke up
the last
dad.
She heard, her baby boy was on his own in Budapest, not knowing how to get anywhere, and then his phone was dead.
Youngest Beardmore son.
So she woke my dad up and made him go to his office to look through all of his emails to see if he'd received an email from my other brother to see where we were staying. So my dad was up at like 3:30 in the morning trying to get the hotel name in Budapest. Meanwhile, my other little brother went missing, lost 50% of his hearing
I forgot about that.
What?
Yeah, do you not know this?
How did he lose his hearing?
He to this day claims he doesn't know, right? You don't forget how you lose 50% of your hearing. The consultant said last time we saw hearing loss like this was a guy who came back from Afghanistan. So
he's a good stag do.
Yeah, he's good. You're at the cricket, Tim. Anyway, let's move on.
Wow. Wow.
France,
So thank you. So your Raging Bull tour story, contact eggchasers at gmail.com. Email, go. Yes, next game.
Well, France, South Africa, we touched on it briefly. I think the big one will be next weekend when France have all their players back. So South Africa won by 23 points. Scored some nice tries, but when France have a few of those big hitters from Clermont and Toulon, it will be a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, during the final, I was watching, is it Cholli?
Damien Cholli.
Cholli.
I was just watching this guy marauder on the field. I thought, he alone is worth at least one win at Six Nations. He must be.
Yeah.
He's an incredible player. The interesting thing about this to me was two things. First of all, can you ever imagine when you were a kid saying teams number 6 and 7 in the world are going to be France and South Africa?
Yeah.
Amazing, isn't it?
I was thinking about that during this game and kind of hoping that these two sort their acts out.
Yeah.
Which I think they... Well, certainly France, we've seen some positive signs, but whether that can continue, I have no idea. And South Africa, there were certainly some positive signs in this game. I mean, Malcolm Marx, who I mentioned before, was brilliant. And Yantis is looking more and more like a test fly half.
Yeah, very, very creative guy.
Whiteley as captain was very good. And Ross Cronje.
The young scrum half.
The scrum half.
Is he young? I'd say young. He doesn't look young.
He doesn't look particularly young. I don't know how old he is, but the Lions scrum half.
I'm very worried that he is superseded Faf.
Well, I think he's the scrum half that Diamond will have wished he could have signed instead of Faf. Because he has, like, he's really fast, great hands, reads the game well, runs well. All of which are things that Faf has in fits and starts, whereas this guy seems to offer consistency as well.
He can run fast, he gets the breakdowns quickly, but what he does with that ball at the breakdown, I mean, that's a lottery.
Well, yeah, that's the point. He can do it one time in five.
Yeah.
Whereas this guy seems to do it five times out of five.
I'm not looking forward to it. I can see it's going horribly wrong. It will be interesting when France get their players back. Although it is good to see South Africa get on track. And I kind of wonder, you know, for all the criticism he came in for during the autumn, was it a fairly shrewd move to keep the coach? I mean, it couldn't get any worse for him, could it?
I mean, there's probably a few players who said Ackermans, who's going to Gloucester,
yep,
why not throw him in there?
Yeah.
Bit of politics, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess
maybe.
You know, like I say, it couldn't get any worse. And they, you know, if they win two games against France, they're set up nicely to go into the Tri Nations. And I don't think Argentina or Australia are going to be up to much.
You're probably right. Yeah.
So, who knows? Who knows, eh?
Well, playing Australia next week is Scotland.
Yep. That'll be interesting to see where they're up to.
Yeah, Scotland enjoyed a very good win against
Italy. Two of the best tries that you'll see all season.
Well, alongside the four brilliant tries from the Argentina-England game, there were two or three from the Scotland game.
I don't think there was a better try than that Maitland one.
Maitland?
Yes. I'm going to... Finn Russell's two... Is it two kicks?
And again, this game was demonstrating the depth of New Zealand rugby.
Go on.
Well, Scotland v Italy was highlighted. It was a further demonstration of the depth of New Zealand rugby. Just, there you go. That's that.
Enough said there.
Finn Russell was... We saw the good Finn Russell.
We saw the
best Finn Russell.
We saw some brilliant stuff from Finn Russell. You said the Maitland try.
Sorry.
Visser
try.
Yes. I know the one you mean with the double chip over.
Visser and Maitland are interchangeable for me. They're pretty much the same person. It was incredible. It started in their own 22. Well, from what I remember, it started in their own 22.
There was that try.
And then the
repeat offloads.
Oh, that was
like five
stunning
offloads with then the out the back door from Finn Russell for Ross Ford.
What do you think of it being played in Kuala Lumpur?
It was Singapore, but...
Was it?
Yeah.
Sorry, Singapore.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Do you know what the attendance was to the stadium?
I'm going to guess 7,000.
And what was the stadium?
Don't know. 30, 40?
I think it was 54,000 it held, and it was 8.5.
Oh, no.
But Scotland are very used to, or certainly the Edinburgh players are very used to that.
Yes, competitive advantage, I guess.
Just like slightly more humid Murrayfield.
Does that undermine the idea of doing it? I mean, it's good to reach out, and that's... That's 8,500 people that wouldn't have seen a game, but...
No, not when you consider that Italy has got pretty much no... absolutely no presence in Singapore, and a few expats. And then, meanwhile, in Australia, they've only managed to muster 13,000 to watch a game.
I don't see the point of this game. The Singapore, not the Singapore part. I completely see the point in that. But what is the point of Scotland playing Italy? I just don't understand that.
If Scotland and Italy weren't playing each other, who would they play? I mean, if one of them is playing Australia, then that means Fiji can't play.
Who are Georgia
Australia.
Playing?
Georgia played Canada.
Played Canada,
because they've gone to North America.
No one played Samoa.
They not? Well, Samoa could do with the game, I guess. But Tonga had the All Blacks.
No, have the All Blacks.
Well, is that next week?
Next week.
So, I guess they could do that.
It feels weird playing a team that you've played a few months ago. The point of the Autumn Internationals and the Summer Internationals is you go to different areas of the globe and play teams that you don't play.
I guess, but like last year, and I was highly critical of this, Wales played England, didn't they, before they set off on tour?
Yeah,
I really dislike that.
And England played Wales before the World Cup. I hated that as well.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of warm-up games at all.
Yeah, England normally... So they didn't do it in 2015 because they were in their groups, but they normally have a big money fixture against Wales before the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those
two unions are far more in cahoots than anyone realises.
We just need to preserve the... Again, because you just kind of dilute the interest in the games that you do
I've got to say, I'm actually for the game in... Not Kuala Lumpur, in Singapore.
Oh, I'm all for that.
It just makes sense.
All for that.
Who's playing in there? Yeah, I can see that. But actually, these test windows are so much more interesting now because there are so many more teams playing. Georgia in the United States, Romania were playing, Japan. You know,
there were 22,000 people in the Red Bull Arena in the States to watch.
Brilliant.
USA v Ireland.
Yeah,
absolutely brilliant.
That was great.
That's good.
And USA put up made a good account of themselves as well.
Yeah. It's got three tries as well, which is good.
I didn't watch this game, but I was following it closely on Twitter.
Yeah, I've caught up with all of the tries. Keith Earls played pretty well. Stockdale finished a good try. Marmion finished a good try. It kind of went exactly as you'd expect.
Stockdale was the lad in last year's under-20s. In fact, I need to... I will on the next podcast, I will give you a little... I'll give you my breakdown of the... Because I haven't got the list of names, but I've been keeping a list of names from the under-20s that have impressed me. But I remember last year we were raving about Joe Marchant.
Yeah.
We were raving about Harry Mallinder.
Yeah.
Who we already knew about from Avicii. We were raving about
there's a couple of the
Stockdale,
Irish ones.
The fullback for Ireland, and the number eight for Ireland as well. And Keelan Giles.
Yeah, and Stockdale.
Oh no, Keelan Giles had already been moved into the Welsh squad and wasn't playing, but anyway.
But Stockdale for Ulster has been
Stockdale for Ulster,
very
and Geordie
good.
Geordie Barrett as well was the other one. So
oh,
it,
yeah,
it's a brilliant proving ground for these players. So we're at the semi-final stage, and I think England have got in the semi-final. Is it Australia?
They beat Australia.
No, they beat Australia in the quarters.
In the quarters, it's South Africa.
South Africa, I think, in the semis.
Yeah.
So it's well worth keeping an eye out for those games as well.
Yeah, and the England Australia game was a brilliant game.
Yeah.
It's all the highlights are available on World Rugby's website, which is worth checking out.
World Rugby are good.
They are good.
We are very lucky to have a governing body like World Rugby. Their communication is outstanding, and the way
is.
They spread their stuff. Anyway, so Scotland, yeah, good, really exciting performance. It was good attacking rugby, which is the start of Gregor Townsend's reign, isn't it?
It is.
It's what we hoped we'd see.
And I hope they get something out of these Australia games that they've got. I think we've got two tests against Australia.
I'm not sure. One apiece would be nice. One, because I want to see Scotland improve, but I don't want to see the death of Australian rugby.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think you will. I think it's quite... These things are always cyclical. It's interesting. I was at a wedding last weekend. It was an Australian and English wedding. And I found a couple of Aussie guys to have a chat with and talk rugby. And They were Queenslanders, primarily rugby league lads, but had played a lot of union recently, and certainly more recently. And they were bemoaning the fact that in Australia, there's a huge amount of money being put in at low grassroots level into AFL and NRL,
yep,
the other codes, and virtually no money at all being put into union.
Who puts the money in, though?
Who puts the money in for NRL and AFL?
Don't know who does
the league, the governing body.
Well, okay, so on Green and Gold they talk about this all the time, that there's no development at grassroots.
Yeah,
the RFU are superb at doing this.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, you want to set up a minis team or you want to set up a local team, a guy in a one series will show up with a rose on his car and they'll give you
all of the kit you need.
Yeah, is that they're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe there's something in that.
So and they were also then saying that they're getting some NRO players, but it tends to be the kind of mid-level NRL players,
yeah,
the best ones, there just is not enough money to get them across.
Yeah, so they get...
Other than perhaps Folau.
They get over these big money signings, but actually the union's not making any cash.
Yeah.
So it's really, really difficult. Shall we talk about another competition not making cash if we finish off the internationals?
Go on, then.
There's a lot of those in World Rugby around the place, in World Rugby, a lot of competitions not making a lot of cash.
Well, let's talk about one in particular, two in particular, actually, Pro 12 and Super Rugby.
Yep.
So... Pro 12, I've been a little bit critical of. I don't know if I'm not sure if this is on record.
I'm not picking those vibes.
Oh, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But I will add this to it. You know, like recently, the playoffs in particular have been a showcase for what the competition could and should be.
Yes.
It should be an incredible competition. Sadly, it's not. For lots of reasons I'm not going to go into. Meanwhile, on the other side of the globe, the other hemisphere, you have a competition which was incredible,
yeah.
Super Rugby. Like, I think for a long time, the best competition to watch for a long, long time.
Oh, if you'd have said, even until a few years ago, what were the Premiership Pro 12 Top 14 aspiring to be?
Yeah.
It's probably, most of them would have said Super Rugby teams.
Completely agree. Probably the high watermark was when Crusaders came over here and played the Sharks in a 67-52 game or something. It was just phenomenal. Anyway, things haven't gone so well for the Super Rugby teams, and they are ditching two of their 15. Three of their 18.
Yes.
To go back to 15, which is the most...
Well, that's good. Order. That's important. Sometimes you make decisions, and this happens in business, it happens in life, it happens wherever. You make decisions, and having the ability to show a bit of humility, to recognise where you make mistakes and reverse things if need be, is important. And I commend Super Rugby for not blindly clinging on to something which because they're so invested in it, which does happen quite a lot.
Absolutely. So, what do you think is going to happen to the two South African teams who have left Super Rugby.
Well, surely they'll just dissolve them, and the players will find one of the other franchises elsewhere, or else if they're not good enough, they'll play the tier below, which is the Currie Cup, still a good quality competition.
Well, that's what one would have thought, but instead it looks like they've been invited to join the Pro 12.
They claim they're not, but the Pro 12, people in the Pro 12 claim the invitation has been extended.
I've certainly seen there has definitely been an invitation extended to the Cheetahs.
Right. So, I mean, Southern Kings...
still a little bit grey, because like you say, Tim, not everyone's given a consistent response to this.
Yeah. So the Southern Kings, I'm not sure I'd want the Southern Kings in Cheshire 1, quite frankly, let alone Pro 12. They're an absolute mess. Cheetahs, maybe there's something to go with here. What kind of lunatic wants to take two South African teams who aren't good enough for Super Rugby and then bolt them on to Pro 12?
With the distances as well.
I mean, you've been to South Africa recently. It's not close.
It's certainly not close.
So let's just think about this. Super Rugby's reason for expansion was financial. More games, more TV money, getting into more territories in the world, TV money. It was a financially driven decision, which hasn't really worked, and the quality of the competition has been compromised. Pro 12, this is just, they make, the Pro 12 TV money is tiny compared to the Avicii.
Yeah, and the top 14.
The top 14.
Yeah.
It's tiny. It does not compete, and then that filters down into the spending power, the clout that players have, that teams have.
Yeah, which is why they're using the national teams as basically a weapon to keep them in the Pro 12.
Yeah. So I do understand the business perspective of saying, well, South Africans like their rugby. We could get a slice of TV money from there, which would help us compete. I completely get it. But it just feels... And there's talk of an American team. Houston, is it?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, this is just ludicrous.
Yeah, it's bonkers.
Houston and bloody Johannesburg, or you know, wherever the Cheetahs are. It is so stupid. It is off the chart stupid. If you want to develop a new team, develop one in Germany. You know, richer country, has a bit of history playing rugby. How hard could it possibly be? But to fly the Cheetahs, what do you do for away games? There's so many questions. There's more questions than actually answers here. I mean, what do you do about currency exchange? There's so much stuff going on. Flying them over to Ireland isn't exactly easy.
And have they not learnt from... Again, there's no appetite to go and watch games as a spectator or watch it on the TV, frankly, when it doesn't feel like a niggly match or a grudge match or a rival match. And Pro 12 is at its best in the playoffs when you have great teams with really good players, and in the games where there's something, it feels like something really good.
And I'll give you an example of when it doesn't work. When it doesn't work is when the Welsh teams are going, you know, hammer and tong at each other. And then the Scottish teams have the slogan, more than just a game, and they're playing the Italian teams because there's nothing on it. No one cares.
On half of the derby weekends of the season when Edinburgh travelled to Treviso, more than just a game.
So it's just... I mean, I hope this doesn't happen. If South Africans want to fold their teams, that's on them. But it's certainly not for the Pro 12 to pick up the pieces and take the least successful parts of Super Rugby and incorporate them into the least successful league in the UK.
Yeah, well, we will watch that one with interest, but I think we've pretty much unanimously stuck our colours to the mast on that.
Yes.
Tell us what you think on that subject. What the games were there? There's no more rugby that I've actually seen, really.
That's everything I've seen.
I mean, we haven't spoken about Japan, Romania. Japan won that.
Georgia beat Canada in Canada 13-0.
Yep.
What else was there? Yeah, that's about it.
Well, let's look ahead to the British and Irish Lions next game then, which is the Tuesday game against the Highlanders.
Oh, I've just played our Leo Vegas music.
That's all right. Play it. Let the music play.
So, our Leo Vegas bet of the week is...
British and Irish Lions going to the Highlanders.
So, the British and Irish Lions team is out. Highlanders team is not out. Do we
it
know
is.
What's, oh, is it?
It is.
Oh, well,
come on then. Give us the runners and riders. So, well, from the Lions' point of view, as much as previewing the game, it's interesting to sort of dissect where we think Warren Gatland's head is at in relation to the squad, because this is the midweek game. The next game on Saturday, as Phil pointed out earlier, is the New Zealand Maori, which is going to be a brutal match and a really good test.
So, sorry, can I just interrupt? Is the Chiefs midweek next week then?
Yeah.
And then Hurricanes in between tests?
Yeah.
Yes. Ugh. So those Chiefs and Hurricanes will almost certainly not include any of the All Blacks.
No, because the All Blacks squads, as of today, the All Blacks squad are together.
Yes.
As a squad.
No way.
So none of the All Blacks will be involved in any of these games now.
Okay.
Because they've got... This makes it even harder for the Lions. The All Blacks have that warm-up game that we talked about, which they don't normally have, because you can quite often catch them cold on Test 1.
Hmm.
But they're playing Tonga.
Tonga, which you're going to imagine is going to be a cricket score.
Yes.
The Highlanders are missing a fair few players, including Ben Smith and Aaron Smith.
Ben Smith. Aaron
and
Smith.
Liam Squire.
That's just Liam Squire.
Squazzy. So I can't help but think they're missing Elliot Dixon as well.
Elliot Dixon.
So I can't help but feel this is going to be a Lions win, even though it's I say it's not the strongest team. I look at this team and I'm actually quite positive. I actually quite like it. I like the combinations.
I mean, you've got to really go some, haven't you, to have a bad Lions team.
Well, it's interesting.
I mean, they are the best in their respective nations.
That Blues game, I had less of a positive feeling than I do about this game. I think this will be another Lions victory.
Go on, run us through the team briefly then.
So Lions is, we're sticking with block front rows, so we've got Marler, Best, Sinclair.
Right.
Second row.
The only one there I think could make it onto the test, bench, onto the test bench is probably Sinclair.
That could be a test bench.
You reckon? I think
Sinclair's coming off the bench for
Owens. Best off the bench of the tests. I was thinking McGrath, Owens, Sinclair.
Sorry, I got this wrong.
Maybe that is. But
I've got the Highlanders. They've got Waisaki Naholo, Malachi Fekitoa.
Those two are playing. So Fekitoa isn't in.
Sopoanga.
So Sopoanga and Fekitoa. Fekitoa isn't in the All Blacks squad.
Right.
Sopoanga is, but it looks like his third choice. And Naholo is, but I think he needs some fitness, some game time. So they have got a few players. So those three, Sopoanga, Naholo, Fekitoa, are very handy players. But it feels like they're missing more than they have from their overall team.
Yeah, because their actual pack doesn't look too short of players, actually. In fact, the whole team looks broadly okay.
Very few of that pack that I reckon.
So who are the Lions' second row? Is Marrow in there clapping them to death?
No. It is Laws and Henderson.
Hendo.
And importantly, Alan Wynne-Jones is on the bench, which might mean that Marrow is lined up to start this weekend.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was thinking it was going to be Cruz and Itoji for the first test. And then Alan Wynne put in quite a good performance at the weekend.
He really did.
He did.
Which made me think, but...
I mean, if there's one partnership you don't need any more game tape of, it's Cruz and Itoji.
Yeah, and also, if there's one area of the team, not only we talked about the depth of the second row for the Lions, but if there's one area of the team where everyone has played well, because Hendo and Laws have done nothing wrong. They've been solid.
So Hendo and Laws in the second row... Two very, very good players and offer a whole host of things. Then the back row is interesting. So it's Haskell 6, Warburton 7, Stander 8.
Yeah.
Webb and Bigger, obviously a tried and tested halfback pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Then Henshaw and Jonathan Joseph in the centres.
Both boys are going to be desperate to prove themselves.
Yeah. If they think... So if we're saying that this is more of a midweek team... Those two really, really want to put their hands up.
Put yourself in their position, right?
Yeah.
You're desperate to prove yourself. Who is the fly half you'd most least like to play with?
Most least like to play with?
Yeah.
Probably Bigger.
Probably definitely Bigger.
I'd love to be playing outside Finn Russell on the form he was on at the weekend, or George Ford, the form he was on at the weekend.
Exactly. Carlos Spencer, Dan Bigger, no.
No. Dan Bigger will play brilliantly and he'll chip and chase for himself.
Yeah. It'd be Dan. Who are the other ones you wouldn't want to play next to?
Butch James.
Yeah, Butch James. Stephen Myler.
Kelly Haimoina, whatever he was. Crash Ball 10 for Italy.
So, good luck, boys. Good luck.
Mm.
Then back three. Again, I quite like the back three. Tommy Seymour, Jack Noel, and Jared Payne.
Now, Seymour.
The Payne train.
Seymour,
I think, is going to come good soon because he's very good at chasing high balls, very busy, that kind of thing, and I think that's worth so much.
He better come good in this game or there's zero chance. I think who out of, realistically, right, because any of them could theoretically, but realistically at this point, who could play themselves into a test jersey with a big performance on Tuesday? Webb, yes.
Henshaw and Jonathan Joseph.
So I
firmly believe those two. I think the centre spots are still up for grabs.
One of those could.
Yeah,
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
The wingers, Seymour and Noel. One of them could.
Definitely. Oh, definitely.
One of them could.
And Jared Payne, given that Hogg is going to have a scan, and they're worried about a fractured eye socket.
He's going to bloody pick Halfpenny above him, hasn't he? That's why he's... Oh.
Like it's a bad thing. The guy was man of the series last time round, and he played pretty well when he came on. I mean, he's a good player.
In the pack, so Sam Warburton's going to be definitely for the test team. I think CJ Stander is playing for that number six shirt.
Hmm.
I think Faletau and Warburton are pretty nailed on.
Yep.
Brian Warburton's fit. And then Omani, O'Brien... Stander.
Who would you have?
I'd probably go Sean O'Brien. Obviously, I'm wearing my Leinster vest.
Tim?
Peter Omani.
Would you?
100%.
Animal. Yeah.
And then Stander on the bench.
I just think, again, matching up against New Zealand, they love quick ball. And so you want to slow it down. And so Peter Omani, it's not like a pooper where you're going two out and out.
Yep.
Kind of open side to try and do that, but Warburton and Omani doing that groundwork, and then also the line out threat to disrupt that pack. And again, against six All Blacks for Canterbury Crusaders, their line out was a mess.
You know, the thing is, as well,
yeah,
I mean, with Warburton and Omani playing, do they do too many, too similar things? Because Warburton gives you line out options too.
I'll tell you what they don't do this, or what they're very different on. Warburton and Faletau could arguably be too nice, and Omani has a bit of mongrel about him.
He most certainly does. Yeah, he most certainly does.
Well, do we think that, fine, Sam Warburton is fit, and I know that the New Zealanders rate him very highly. There's a fly in this room, which is really annoying.
Sorry, mate.
That's all right, it's fine. But is there an element where we think, could this be an indication that he has to play himself into the weekend team, or is he just kind of there to get fit again and he'll be fine and he'll be in? See, they'll play him for half a match and then pull him off.
Yeah, I think
take him off.
I think it's more a function of timing.
How many back rows do you have on a bench typically?
One. Unless you're playing a 5-2 split.
Or unless you have a player like Hendo or Marrow who could cover second row back row.
So Hendo, to me, is an ideal bench player. Stander is an ideal bench player. Sinclair is an ideal bench player. There's so many guys that I'd want on that bench to come on and make an impact for the last 30.
Yeah, Ken Owens.
Bloody hell, yeah.
Yeah.
Ken Owens, Jack Carl
McGrath
Sinclair.
Or Marla.
Yeah,
Marla or McGrath.
Yeah.
Owens, that's why I pick Owens over Best.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Sinclair
so
impact.
McGrath
second row impact, potentially it's Marrow off the bench.
Yeah. So I think
he can cover that position. And then probably someone like Sean O'Brien or CJ, probably CJ Stander.
So how about this? McGrath starts, Macko off the bench. Imagine bringing those boys on with 30 minutes to go.
But the thing is, though, Macko has shown it time and time again. He can do it for 60, 70 minutes. He can be that.
And if you're picking a guy like Peter Omani over Sean O'Brien or CJ Stander at six, then the ball carrying of Macko becomes
more important.
That's true.
Yeah.
But just imagine bringing on all those ball carriers in one
Yeah,
go.
But, well, yeah.
And just one thing on that, actually. We will get into it as we get towards the tests, but... Actually, playing Sexton and Farrell both starting allows you to go for a 6-2 split. So it allows you to have more forward options.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Because you don't need a second... So you just have a scrum half and an outside back.
Yeah.
Someone like Daly, for example, who can play
Daly
centre.
Daly be ideal.
Yeah, with the pace and multiple positions.
I wonder if he'll start at the weekend, though, against the Maori on the wing.
So, let's have your points predictions, boys.
Ugh. Lions by 9.
Highlanders by 5.
So, Lions are going to win. And they're going to win reasonably handsomely. I think they're going
to
score a few tries.
Ooh.
And they're going
to
win by
tries.
12 points.
So, Tim?
By 9.
Me, Highlanders by 5.
Lions by 12.
Wow. There you go.
Get to leovegas.com. Get involved.
Now, one thing I will just mention, not specifically for this game, but a lovely chap called Gavin Graham has got in touch and sent me some incredible analysis of the All Blacks squad and the Maori squad.
Mm-hmm.
The players' statistical performance based on their Super Rugby games this season.
Should we do this later in the week?
We should do this.
Previewing the Maori game, but yeah,
yes, I just want to say big thanks to Gavin Graham because it's a hell of a piece of work and we will look at it for the first time in any depth ahead of next weekend's Maori game against the Lions.
Good.
Such a tease, Phil. Such a tease.
But yeah,
credit where credit's due.
Get in touch with tour stories, with statistical breakdowns, with any other ideas you've got for the podcast. You know where to find us. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we are
Instagram
Egg Chasers Podcast. We're and we're on iTunes and Acast.
I've got to say, go and follow us on Instagram. I went on our Instagram only yesterday for the first time, and it wasn't the meme covered hell that I expected. It's actually pretty good.
I need to get some more pictures and update it.
Yeah.
Well, like, we should really get a picture of Phil in that Leinster vest.
No.
There'll be Ulsterman. What about your pride Ulsterman? Oh, you got Ulster shorts on.
Ulster shorts. I couldn't just wear the harp up top.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right, let's go home.
Yes. Subscribe and we'll see you on the next podcast. Let the boys play.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.